Sir Ludwig Guttmann was a neurosurgeon and founder of the Paralympic Games. The Jewish doctor arrived in Oxford in 1939, having fled Nazi Germany. His father was killed in a concentration camp and his sister was a victim of the Nazi gas chambers. Despite these experiences, Guttmann had a dream. On the request of the British government in 1944, he opened the UK's first ever spinal injuries unit at Stoke Mandeville Hospital in Buckinghamshire. To coincide with the opening of the 1948 London Olympics, Sir Ludwig held the first Stoke Mandeville Games. 54 years later, and things are a little different. I'm Ian Williams.
And I'm Kate Wilson.
And in this programme, we'll be asking, just what have the Paralympics ever done for us?
Time for a change. Time for Able Radio. A true voice for all.
With 2.7 million tickets sold, 1,522 medals won and 75 countries featured on the podium, the London 2012 Paralympic Games have undoubtedly been the most successful ever. We've met the superhumans, witnessed triumph and agony and been captivated by an extraordinary summer of sport.
But what exactly have the Paralympics ever done for us? And what will the long-term effect be for people with disabilities in the UK? Over the next hour, we'll be asking this question and many more as we take an in-depth look into the 2012 Games.
Able Radio, a voice for all.
Able Radio, a voice for all.
Joining us in the studio, we have Simon Green, leading disability hate crime campaigner and chairman of the Bridgend Coalition for Disabled People. We have James Smith, wheelchair basketball player. And joining us on the phone, we have Margot Milne from Boreham Wood and Chris Oswin from Liverpool joining us on Skype.
So this is What Have the Paralympics Ever Done For Us? And coming up over the next hour, we'll be talking about the event, Channel 4's coverage, attitudes, access, the legacy, and everyone's favourite Paralympic sponsor, Atos. That's all coming up in the next hour. But in this first section of the show, I just want to read a quote to start this off. Actor Simon Pegg tweeted, "Watching the Paralympics, you realise what an utterly stupid term disabled is." That was on the 31st of August. Simon Green, if I can just bring you in now. Before we start talking about the necessaries of the Games, let's talk about the event as a spectacle. And just give us your opinions of the 2012 Paralympic Games.
I thought it was absolutely fantastic, and I know we're going to talk later about the Channel 4 coverage. It's been criticised, but for the coverage, the whole event, the way it was run, the way London organised it was brilliant, because I think it was the first time ever it's been run as one. The Olympics and Paralympics were as one. The Paralympics weren't the afterthought. It wasn't like, well, the main thing is over, now we're going to go for, you know, the Paralympics. No, and I went for the opening ceremony, and well, I had goosebumps all the way through. It was probably the best atmosphere I've ever been in, and I've been to many Six Nations Grand Slam matches with Wales, and yeah, thoroughly enjoyed it. And many heroes have been formed, and it's great that David Weir, Johnny Peacock, Ellie Simmons are all being talked about in the same breath as Mo Farah, Jessica Ennis. And that's what I've wanted to see for years and years and years, and finally we now see it.
So you definitely think that London 2012 delivered then?
Absolutely delivered. Lots and lots of gold medals, and it showed the world that, like Simon Pegg said, you know, why do we use the word disabled? You know, just because somebody uses a wheelchair, just because somebody's only got one leg or can't see, or as a restrictive growth disorder, doesn't mean they can't compete, doesn't mean they can't, shouldn't be valued in society. And, to me, David Weir is my hero now, you know, things he does I could never do in a million years. But
that brings me on to my next point, really. I was just going to ask you about your outstanding performance or highlight of the Games. And obviously David Weir figures quite highly in that.
Yeah, well, his four gold medals, and he was on the track day after day after day. It wasn't just like one event. You know, he was there to do a quarterfinal, semi-finals, then back the next day to do a final. being drugs tested, not getting in till 3 o'clock in the morning, then going back to the stadium 8 o'clock the following morning to do the 5,000 metre rounds. And then,
could you see an Olympic athlete doing that? Competing in that wide range of events in such a small space of time and winning every single one?
Absolutely not. You know, like everybody, you know, talked about Mo Farah winning, I think it was the 5,000 and 10,000 metres on the track, and that was thought to be fantastic. But what David Weir does was, you know, was unbelievable. And some people have said it's different for someone using a wheelchair because there's certain muscles you don't use. And maybe a non-disabled person couldn't do an 800 metres and a marathon, you know, one day after the other. But to me, that's just excuses. It just shows that disabled people are better, really.
Well, that's a good point to bring your conversation to a close on that, Simon. Margot, if I can just bring you in. And really the same question to you, your opinions and your thoughts on what was, you know, a brilliant summer of sport for Paralympics.
It was a sensational summer. I mean, I'm a sports fan, so I have been watching sport all summer long, from Wimbledon through the Olympics, through the Paralympics, and I've loved the whole of it. But I mean, the Paralympics, I enjoyed the opening ceremony. I loved the sport. Didn't enjoy the closing ceremony quite as much. Seemed more like a Coldplay concert to me. I did think it would have been rather tasteless if they'd played I Will Fix You, but there we go. Fortunately, they didn't. Really, I think, for me, it's impossible to pick a highlight because there were just so many. Sarah Storey reaching the record of the number of medals. That's just sensational. She's just so good. David Weir, as Simon has already said, Johnny Peacock in that wonderful 100 metres race, Ellie Simmons and her 4 medals, 2 of them gold.
And let's not forget Hannah Cockcroft as
Hannah
well.
Hannah Cockcroft,
you know.
That wonderful Thriller Thursday, wonderful evening in the stadium. It was just such a good championships and particularly good for Britain.
It was certainly was. It was certainly a highlight for us as a nation. Just looking at it from a slightly different point, Margot, how inclusive do you think the games are of disability? The point I'm trying to make is that visual impairment, spinal injuries, amputees, and cerebral palsy are all sort of covered, but for other disabilities outside of that, how inclusive do you think it is?
I think they include what you could call the healthy disabled, but for people who you could term unhealthy disabled, which would include people like me with multiple sclerosis, because I've got an illness that makes you disabled. I couldn't possibly do those kind of things. I wish I could. But the fatigue that's caused by my condition just makes it completely impossible. There were a couple of people with MS competing, as I know of, but very, very few.
Yeah, it was Stephanie Millward, I believe, the swimmer who won 4 silvers. So,
absolutely, and there's also at least one rider.
Yeah, I just want to bring Simon in. He's got a point for us.
Yeah, point I wanted to make. Yes, you made one of the points I was going to make, that I know there was a couple of swimmers who had MS that competed. But correct me if I'm wrong, I don't believe that the deaf community are represented at the Paralympics.
Yeah.
I did see someone speaking about that, and that surprised
me. I think they have a deaf Paralympics, don't they, or deaf Olympics as such.
Yeah, it's quite disappointing me that maybe the deaf community, I know a number of friends that are hearing impaired, and that they weren't included. What the reasons are, I don't know. How they start off on the line, because obviously, but I'm sure there's some way of that. You know, there's some way of doing it.
Mm.
Yeah,
I did see some suggestion that they'd tried to be included and been turned down, but I don't really know the story behind it. I don't know the facts.
Okay, Margot. Well, thanks for that point. I'm going to bring in James now. James, you were an avid watcher of the event. You weren't lucky enough to go, but just your quick opinions before we sort of talk about more pressing subjects of the Paralympics.
Yeah, I thought it was amazing. I used to do wheelchair racing when I was a lot younger. And I'd go away all over the country, and it would be an empty stadium apart from the other competitors, coaching teams, and the odd family member. And to see a stadium full of people, I would have just loved to have had a chance, even if I'd have lost, which probably would have happened. But to compete with so many people there must have been a dream come true for so many of these athletes. Because David Weir, you talked about earlier, I actually went on some training weekends when we were both up and coming. Of course, he'd gone on now to become world champion. Even back then, he was beating guys at 17. At 17, he was beating guys that were in their 20s. So he was guaranteed to be brilliant.
Something special, indeed.
It was special, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
I'm sure, you know, if listeners have any thoughts or opinions on this, then please do get in touch with us, studio@ableradio.com. You can also find us on Facebook and we're on Twitter. So if you've got any comments, any opinions at all about anything that we're discussing, then please do get in touch with us.
We're just going to take a break, and coming up next, we will be discussing Channel 4's coverage.
Able Radio, a voice for all.
Able Radio, a voice for all.
Your life, your story.
Channel 4's coverage reached 39.9 million people. That's over 69% of the UK population. And this compares to a reach of 20.5 million for the BBC's coverage of the 2008 Beijing Paralympic Games. Around 2 in 3 viewers, which is 69%, said this is the first time they have ever made an effort to watch the Paralympics, while half said that this is the first Paralympics they have ever watched, and 67% said they watched more than they expected to.
OK, Channel 4, obviously they showed record coverage of the event, which has never been seen. We've never seen this much exposure for the Paralympic Games, but obviously it does then bring some criticism. James, I'm going to come to you first. Channel 4's coverage as a whole, good points, bad points?
As a whole, they did an excellent job, but it was the first couple of days I was very worried. It was really disjointed and they weren't showing that much sport. It was a lot of studio-based chat, and there was a lot of people complaining on Facebook and Twitter about it, and they did respond, and they said it was a small amount of people complaining, and it wasn't. There was a lot more. But overall, it was the best I've ever seen of the Paralympics.
Well, I mean, that goes without saying, really. I mean, BBC used to do an hour in the evening, and Channel 4 were basically from 7 o'clock in the morning till 10, 11 o'clock at night. So they really did sort of push the boat out as far as coverage is concerned. One thing that really sort of upset me as a viewer was the opening ceremony and the adverts in between the opening ceremony. That's something that should flow, isn't it? You should be there, you should be part of the experience. And those adverts were really sort of off-putting.
Yeah, there was a lot of people, friends and family, and there was people online that were saying they could have, you know, for that like 2 hours, just stopped the adverts and let it flow, because there were so many adverts and the competitors were coming in and you were missing it. And of course, that is one of the big things of the Paralympics, is the opening, and it's a big event. It was very disappointing.
Yeah. Okay, Simon, you want a point? Got a point?
Yeah, I agree with everything James has said, and I am. With the opening ceremony, I was at the opening ceremony and the atmosphere was fantastic, and I watched it back when I got home, and it didn't seem anywhere near as good on the TV, and the adverts did spoil it. And one of the really, really silly things, I went for lunch with a friend the day before the Paralympics opening ceremony, and the Kazakhstani team were on the table behind us, and we got chatting with some of the Kazakhstani athletes. And the friend that was with me was watching it on telly, and he was really looking forward to seeing the Kazakhstani ad, and they were missed out because of the adverts. The adverts blocked out, and that might, you know, that really, really disappointed him. And I'm sure there was other people around the country that wanted to see a particular team come out and missed that because the adverts kept coming in and out. But the adverts annoy me most, I think it was on the second or third day, when Great Britain were playing Germany in the basketball, and there was about 15, 20 seconds left. Great Britain were 2 points down, needed to get a basket to go into overtime, and they cut to an ad break. Mm. And all right, they showed that 20-second to play when they came back, but...
It's still not the same as watching it live, is it?
But you wouldn't get, in a rugby match shown on ITV or Channel 4 S4C, you know, the kicker going to win a kicking, a kick, going to kick a winning penalty, and they're cutting to an ad break and showing the penalty afterwards. It's so that's my biggest criticism. They had to have adverts because it's Channel 4, but they could have chosen when to go to the adverts a lot better than they did.
And just bringing Margot in now. Margot, did you think the blend of sport adverts and studio time was right?
Yeah, basically I agree with everything that's been said so far about the change from being largely studio-based at the start, how they responded to that, and also about the adverts. They also responded from about halfway through, they went to being full-time on Channel 4 Paralympics, which they weren't at the start. Now, I don't know if that was planned all the way through or whether it was a response to the amount people were watching. But I thought that was good.
And what were your thoughts on the presenting team? Because obviously there was a nationwide talent search for the next sort of generation of disabled presenters.
I thought that was excellent that they did that, and I thought they found some very talented presenters. Generally, I thought they were very good. Can I say one thing I liked very much was their programme, The Last Leg.
And that, to be honest with you, I mean,
I know I've had mixed reactions, but I liked it.
Well, you can start us off on that next section, because that was one of the subjects I was going to talk about. The breakfast show, which unfortunately I didn't get to see a lot because it was, you know, a little bit early in the morning. But The Last Leg, I thoroughly enjoyed it, and everybody I've sort of spoken to has thoroughly enjoyed it. But just give us your impressions on that.
It was irreverent. It was not PC, and it was extremely funny. I really, really enjoyed it.
Do you think there is scope to maybe develop this idea and maybe for The Last Leg to become a more regular feature on Channel 4?
I really hope so. I mean, even a weekly or even a monthly disability sports show would be wonderful.
But why not just make it a general disability show?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Why not?
Simon wants to make a point now.
Yeah, on The Last Leg programme, I agree. It was absolutely brilliant. It did have a lot of complaints, but I found most of the people complaining and most of the people that complained to me were not disabled.
Yeah.
They were watching it, like, especially where they had the section, is it okay to do this or say this to a disabled person? And it made me laugh so much because it's the sort of things that people say to me all the time. Yeah. I go out for a drink, people say to me, oh, are you drinking and driving, mate? And they mentioned that. And I'm like, is it, and they mentioned, you know, is it legal to have a few pints and then wheel yourself home? People ask me that all the time. Yeah. So just ask that on a TV programme. And they were laughing at disabled athletes falling over and hurting themselves. And again, some people thought that was wrong, but it's funny. And it was mentioned on the TV, seeing two wheelchair users fencing and one person putting the fence in a very private area and the person being in pain is funny. If two non-disabled people were fighting and that happened, you'd laugh. So why not laugh at a wheelchair user? You know, if James next to me did that, hurt himself quite badly, I would laugh. Sorry, James, but I would.
I would as well.
And it is funny, and I would love to see it show more regularly, yes.
Yeah, definitely. One thing that I know caused quite a bit of a stir amongst Channel 4's viewers, and I'll open this up to Chris first, that was a little device by the name of Lexi. Chris, how did you get on with Lexi?
Well, just before I go on to that, Ian, I'll just give you my general comment, and obviously it's been covered by the other guys. They've talked about the number of adverts. They've talked about the presenters and how it all came across. But what was important was that, from my point of view, the BBC, as the national British broadcaster, had a duty to support its disabled athletes in the same way as it supported its non-disabled athletes. Now, I know Channel 4 did a brilliant job, 16 hours a day, such and such, you know, a lot of comment in the press. I read a lot of Media Guardian and, you know, people saying things about the presenters and going to ad breaks and events being decided and then being shown half an hour later. So, yeah, that was all a bit negative. But when you consider that, you know, the Paralympics is now on a par with the Olympics, that's all thanks to Channel 4, I suppose. And long may the coverage continue of disability sport and disability as a whole. Now going on to Lexi. To be honest, fantastic invention. But I just didn't know how necessary it was, because if you watch the sports closely enough, you'd be that into what was going on that you'd just get enthralled anyway, and the idea would come automatically. Quite a controversial point, I guess, but I'm just thinking, quite an expensive invention, so was it necessary?
Yeah, I mean, I totally agree. I don't know if it was a bit of maybe overkill on Lexi's part.
Yeah, I guess so.
The, you know, it did seem like it was too much. James has got a point on Lexi.
Yeah, I mean, it was good to kind of show how the athletes are classified with a disability, but I think it was an overkill, as you said, and I think they should have said at a certain point, if you'd like to know more about the classifications, go to the Channel 4 website. I think that would have been a bit more useful, and they could have got a few more events and into the mix then.
And then they could have actually started showing a bit more sport.
Yeah, that's right. Simon?
Yeah, I agree with most of what the other guys have said. I found it good and bad. Like I said, I think there were certain sports and events that I wasn't too sure about, you know, what abilities that or disabilities that do these individuals have. So Lexi was helpful, but there was a little bit of an overkill. And they spoke about it was important because you might have half a dozen 100-meter finals. People know, well, why are you having that? So I think it was a great invention, and I didn't think until James mentioned that maybe saying, you know, go online or turn to Para 2 or Para 3 to see, you know, to see more about it might have been a better idea, because very often they did the Lexi thing for too long without showing sport, because they had one clip where this guy showed how to get in and out of his racing wheelchair. And he took 4 attempts to get in it, and I think they took about half an hour. And they probably would be better off recording that and then showing it. But they were far too much of that. But overall, a fantastic job.
Before we go to a quick break, I just want to do a bit of a straw poll around everyone here. Is it just me, or did I find myself watching the games and thinking, what's wrong with him then? What's wrong with it? Did anybody else sort of come up against that sort of thing?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah,
I actually, halfway through the games, I took an evening off the Paras to watch Standard Athletics, and I actually found myself looking at Usain Bolt thinking, what's wrong with him then?
Sort of, you'd automatically program yourself into Paralympic sport.
Yeah.
Absolutely fantastic. Okay, well done, Channel 4, because I think they certainly did make a difference.
Ian,
Sorry, Chris. If
I can just jump in with a quick point here, and it might lead to something, it might not, but I did read articles about Channel 4, if they can show the Paralympics, then they can't give a contract to Frankie Boyle because of his brand of comedy. And the point is that if we don't like certain comedians or certain programs, we don't have to watch them. So Channel 4 can do both. I don't know whether we can just have a quick sort of comment on that, whether there's time, but I think it's important that a channel is allowed to make its own decisions.
Yeah, Chris, you know, we've had this discussion in the office. We actually just last week, and you know, we've got a whole series of new disability shows planned, and Frankie Boyle and all his sort of misfortunes will be discussed. But James, you've got a point on Frankie Boyle.
Yeah, I mean, he is a very controversial comedian, and he has made some comments in the past that are very, you know, distasteful. But there are quite a few tweets he has done over the last few weeks, well, around the Paralympics, and he was supporting them. Yet the media, the newspapers, didn't pick up on that. They picked up on a couple that they could spin to make it seem that he was mocking the disabled.
He's actually promoting disability in his own way, even if he's not doing it very well.
Exactly, yeah. He also, he's not a big fan of Atos as well, which I think we'll talk about later. So he has criticised them with the way they're treating people.
Okay, well, we're going to go to a short break now, but coming up after that, we've got Access and Atos. Should be interesting.